The infamous Louie Louie, performed by the Kingsmen in 1963. Welcome to the program, everyone. This is Connecting the Notes, and I'm your host, Matthew Ray. This hour, we will spotlight Richard Berry, who wrote the song Louie Louie. The song has been covered hundreds of times, has drawn the ire of the FBI, and was even the subject of a 62-hour radio marathon in 1983. The story of Richard Berry goes beyond the catchy, if indecipherable, Louie Louie, and we'll be learning more about the rest of his musical career with the help of producer and director Eric Priedel, who met Richard and for years has been working on a documentary about the artist, as well as serving as gatekeeper for LouieLouie.net. We'll be hearing some portions of that interview later in the show, but first let's dive into some Richard Berry music. Here's a version of the Jimmy Davis and Charles Mitchell song, You Are My Sunshine. This was originally the A-side to Louie Louie, and was really expected to be the big hit for Richard, so hope you enjoy this reworking of You Are My Sunshine.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when the skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. When I
Richard Berry Jr. was born on April 11, 1935 in Extension, Louisiana. He would move to Los Angeles a year later, where he grew up with his family. Attracted to music at an early age, he pursued it while attending Thomas Jefferson High School in central Los Angeles. The school was also where musicians Charles Mingus, Dexter Gordon, and Big J. McNeely spent their formative years. Berry played in various vocal groups while in high school and eventually scored an audition with LA music entrepreneur John Dolphin. The audition didn't land them a deal, but unbeknownst to them, the tapes were rolling during the audition, and the tracks later released under the group name The Hollywood Blue Jays. Berry and the quintet he was playing with in the mid-50s eventually drew interest from Modern Records, which signed the group and named them The Flares, after a subsidiary label of theirs. Here's one of their singles from 1956. It's called In Self-Defense.
If it's wrong, too long to be near you, ooh, and to pray that we'll never part, then the only plea is guilty for me in self-defense of my heart. What? If it's wrong too long to caress you, ooh, and every
peace of mind. I confess that I can't resist you. A desire is more than I can bear. Your love and affection is my only protection from a life of misery and despair. If it's wrong to long to possess you, as heaven above knows I do, then the only plea is guilty for me. In self-defense of my heart, I confess that I can't resist you. A desire is more than I can bear. Your love and affection is my only protection from a life of misery and despair. If it's wrong, long to possess you, ooh, as heaven above knows I do, then the only plea is guilty for me. In self-defense of my love for you.
In Self-Defense, recorded by The Flares and released by Modern Records subsidiary label Flare, featuring a young Richard Berry. Richard Berry is our featured artist this hour. He was the original writer and performer of the song Louie Louie. During this time with Modern Records, Richard began releasing singles as a solo artist. A talented vocalist and songwriter, he was also used on tracks by other label colleagues, although he often went uncredited. Arthur Lee May, Etta James, and The Robins are just a few of the acts to use him on their singles. Richard was the rapper on the Robins' 1954 song Riot in Cell Block No. 9, a song that was banned by CBS Radio later that year. He remained anonymous on the original credits for this song.
On July the 2nd, 1953, I was serving time for armed robbery. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I was sleeping in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
The trouble started in cell block number 5 and spread like fire across the prison floor. I said, okay, boys, getting ready to run. Here come the warden with the Tommy gun. Warden said, come out with your hands up in the air. If you don't stop this riot, you all gonna get the chair. Scarface Jones said, it's too late to quit. Pass the dynamite, cause the fuse is lit. In the 47 hours, the tear gas got our men. We're all back in our cells, but every now and then
there's a ride going on.
The Robins with Riot and Cell Block Number 9. The Robins would eventually morph into the group The Coasters. That song featured Richard Berry, and a couple years later, he would release a follow-up to that song called The Big Break. He released it under his own name, and it featured backing vocals by The Crowns. Another popular song to feature Richard at this time was Etta James' Roll With Me Henry, later renamed The Wallflower. Richard Berry was credited for his vocals on this song, and it reached number one on the R&B charts in 1955.
Hey baby, what do I have to do to make you love me too?
I got to roll with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
Roll with me, Henry.
Roll me, baby.
Roll with me, Henry.
Give me whole time.
Roll with me, Henry.
Don't change my mind.
Roll with me, Henry.
All right.
You better roll.
Richard Berry left Modern Records unsatisfied with the way the label handled royalties. When out from under the contract, he signed with Flip Records. In 1956, after a period of rehearsing and songwriting with a new group of musicians, he began releasing singles under the group name Richard Berry and the Pharaohs. Here's their first B-side, a Richard Berry original titled No Kissin' and a Huggin'.
Darling, I just love you. True love. Baby, baby, I adore you. I'm just crazy, crazy for you. Gee, my darling, I just love you. True love.
All I ever wanted was to
hold you, kiss you, squeeze you.
Now I have you.
that you love me, that you place no one above me. Gee, my darling, I just love you true.
This time, Richard Berry was also singing for Rick Riera and the Rhythm Rockers. The group would tear through Cuban jazz and rhythm and blues each Sunday at Anaheim's Harmony Park Ballroom. One of the regular tunes they played was a René Touzet song called El Loco Cha-Cha. The song, as you'll soon hear, provided the framework that Richard Berry used to write Louie Louie. Here's René Touzet with El Loco Cha-Cha. El Loco Cha-Cha by René Touzet, a song frequently performed by Rick Riera and the Rhythm Rockers, while Richard Berry was singing with the group. Richard wrote the famous Louie Louie at this time, scribbling the basic parts onto a napkin backstage at one of their shows. In 1956, he recorded the song with the Pharaohs, and it was released as a B-side to You Are My Sunshine in March of 1957.
Ship across the sea, I sail the ship all alone. I never think I'll make it home. Louie Louie, well, me gotta go. Louie Louie, me gotta go. 3 nights and days, me sail the sea. Me think of girl constantly. On the ship, I dream she there. I smell the rose in her hair. Louie Louie, me gotta go. Well, Louie Louie, me gotta go.
Pharaohs in 1957. I'm Matthew Ray. Listen to Connecting the Notes, and we are learning about Richard Berry this hour, the man who originally wrote and performed what became one of the most covered rock and roll songs in our history. Louie Louie was not an instant success. In fact, originally a B-side, it wasn't really pushed as a number one hit. Not long after the song came out, Berry sold the rights to the song, along with two others, to Max Firetag, owner of Flip Records, and the publishing company Limax Music. The songs netted Berry $750, enough money to pay for a proper wedding in which he married high school sweetheart and future Raylette singer Dorothy Adams. Louie Louie began gaining popularity later that year, first in Los Angeles and then even more so in the Pacific Northwest. Groups began performing the song live, including the Frantics, Ron Holden and the Playboys, and the Dave Lewis Combo. When Rockin' Robin Roberts and the Wailers covered the songs, the gates opened and Louie Louie spread all over the West Coast. It really took off in 1963 when the Kingsmen recorded the song. With indecipherable lyrics, controversy erupted, resulting in the song being banned by several radio stations and the FBI launching an investigation into the lyrics. This only added to the song's popularity. 8 years after Richard Berry originally wrote the song, the Kingsmen were selling millions of copies of their own version. Richard Berry was now on a different label and remained largely unrecognized for his efforts.
I sailed my ship way across the sea. She on the shoreline and I see her there. She got the moonlight in her hair.
Joining us this hour is gatekeeper of LouieLouie.net and the producer-director of an upcoming documentary on Richard Berry and the Louie Louie phenomenon, Eric Friedel. Eric took the time to talk with the show earlier in the week, and here is a portion of our conversation. Yeah, and based on the fact that he sold Louie Louie, I'm sure he was probably surprised the way it took off. And I also get the impression that He might have been a little disappointed in his own version of how it came out. I know how much he mentioned how much he liked Barry White's version, how his, you know, kind of had that idea in mind for his own. Do you think he was kind of disappointed in his own version? And do you think he was surprised?
He was, yeah. And as you mentioned, the Barry White's version was really a version that he absolutely loved, because as he told me, you know, that the sound that Barry White got was exactly the sound he really wanted for his own version. You know, and he struggled. He struggled with Max Pyrotech, the man who financed and produced and distributed his record labels. He wanted certain sounds, and Max, even though it was a step up for him from modern records, you know, he was able to expand a little bit and try out different styles of music. You know, the recordings he did for Flip were very different from what he did for modern. And then after he left Flip, he wound up recording with Gary Paxton, which was pretty amazing set of singles. They didn't really take off that well, but they were just really amazing recordings. And that, you know, they really had some great freedom. You know, Gary Paxton was a great creative partner for Richard, and they did a lot of great songs together.
And Louie Louie was the subject of a pretty ridiculous FBI investigation. How long did this last, and what did they find? What were they even investigating it for?
They launched it, and I believe in 1965. And actually, yeah, they interviewed Richard Berry, and they told him he could go to jail for these songs. And even though the lyrics that he wrote were not obscene, but it's just basically the way other people interpreted his song, they assumed they were probably obscene because there were some vague references, and you know, the way it was saying, it was open for interpretation. But Richard was definitely threatened by the FBI agents, and they interviewed Richard Berry. They interviewed Max Pyrotech of Flip Records. They interviewed the touring Kingsmen. They interviewed Paul Revere and the Raiders. They interviewed a lot of different people. Oh, and just an aside note, you should be aware that when the Kingsmen were first interviewed by the FBI agents, it was in Chicopee, Massachusetts.
You don't say.
Yeah.
And they never even talked to Jack Ely, did they?
That is correct. They did not talk to Jack Ely. They did not really mention him. And Jack was never interviewed by any of those guys, which is pretty interesting if they're going to, considering, you know, if the lyrics are such a big deal, you know, why not talk to the guy who actually sang them? But, you know, for whatever reasons, the Kingsmen weren't really happy to share the fact that they had another singer for the original their recording. You know, they didn't give any more information than they needed to the FBI. Let's put it that way.
Right. So is this considered a closed case in the FBI? I mean, what were their findings? What did they draw up?
Well, they found that it was unintelligible at any speed, which I thought was pretty funny. But the FBI files are pretty surreal to look at. There's some very interesting blacked out words, and to me, when I look at it from a graphic point of view, it feels like a salad or a deli creation of some sort, because it's just so absurd looking.
And did Jack Ely ever address what he was saying in that song in his version?
Well, when you talk to Jack, he said it's basically the lyrics that Richard Berry wrote. And, you know, what's interesting about that recording, that was the third version they did in the recording studio. And frankly, you know, from what I understand with the Kingsmen, they mentioned that they didn't really like that version. And they were they thought that was kind of a rough take and they were going to do this again. But when Ken Chase said, that's it, They were kind of surprised. They said, well, don't you want us to do a better version? We didn't quite get it right. And Ken Chase said, well, it's perfect. We don't need to do any more. And then, you know, after they finished, Ken Chase said, well, you're going to have to pay the $36 for recording this. And they were a little frustrated over that.
Louis.
Won't you say,
Hey everybody, listen to Connecting the Notes. I'm Matthew Ray. Check us out online at connectingnotes.com if you want some more information about the show. Ike and Tina Turner with their version of Louie Louie playing in the background right now. This hour we are spending our time looking at the man who wrote Louie Louie, Mr. Richard Berry. Helping us out is Eric Priedel, a director who is working on a documentary called The Meaning of Louie. If you'd like to check out his work, visit him online at louielouie.net. You can see how you can help him finish this production that he's been working on for a long time, and also check out some of the Louie Louie information that he's compiled there. It's really extensive and pretty incredible website. He met Richard Berry, and here he is sharing his impressions of the man and about an interesting homage to Louie Louie he was involved with over 20 years ago.
In 1983, I was involved with KFGC Radio, and it was a college radio station in Los Altos Hills, which is about 40 miles south of San Francisco. And what happened was a friend of mine put together a Louie Louie, you know, about a year before that, a friend of mine played Louie Louie on the radio. He played it for about an hour, and he just had a lot of fun doing it. And then across the bay in Berkeley, some people heard that you did Louie Louie for an hour, so they did like 2 hours of Louie Louie. And then my friend Stretch came back, and he wound up playing even more versions of Louie Louie, 4 hours. Then Calix and Berkeley said, all right, we're going to go crazy on this thing. We're going to put like 24 hours of Louie Louie. And you know what happened was, you know, over on this side of the bay, we said, hey, you know, we started this thing, we're going to end this thing. So they, a group of people at the radio station, decided to put together an event called Maximum Louie Louie. And what they did was they made a real serious effort to promote this thing. They sent out a lot of press releases, and they solicited every single version they could. And part of the, because it was operated under a college radio station with classes for the radio, they actually made it part of the assignment. So people that were in radio classes had to submit a version of Louie Louie. So you had all these different versions coming in, and then people that knew bands, people that had connections with radio labels would try to connect some of these old bands to record versions of Louie Louie. So we had people like the Chambers Brothers, the Plimsolls, David Peel, the Lower East Side, all sorts of different bands that had never done Louie Louie before that did specialized recordings just for this event. So I was going to KFGC Radio at the time, and I also was working at this public access video cable company. So I borrowed some video equipment that weekend, and I decided just to document, see what it all, you know, just to see what's going to happen to this event. And it was at this event we brought up Richard Berry. He was on, we paid for his train fare and hotel, and he was blown away by all the attention. At the time, he was struggling with welfare to survive. So it was just a mind blower for him to think that people really cared about Louie Louie so much. And the event lasted for 63 hours nonstop. No Louie was repeated twice. Over 800 versions were played. And it was pretty amazing.
Would you share some of your impressions of Richard Berry when you met him?
Richard Berry was just a very, very humble man. Very, very straightforward. I mean, he definitely could feel the pain that goes along when you sell your song at an early point in your career, not realizing how big it could be. And people would come up to him at this radio show with old records that he was surprised. People were paying, you know, like $50 for an album, and he was just blown away. Here's a guy who's on welfare, and people are buying these old records of his, and he's not getting a penny of this stuff. And then they'd bring up old 78s of records that he didn't even know existed. And, you know, he just wasn't, you know, he made his money as a performer, singer, songwriter for these record labels, but he really didn't see a lot of it sometimes. You know, and what happened was, like, I struck up this really nice friendship with Richard, and Jackie Lee, the original vocalist for the Kingsmen, got wind of this event, and he actually borrowed some money and flew down from Oregon to this event. And it was great because it was the first time Richard Berry had ever met any of the members of the Kingsmen. And it was a pretty magical moment. They wound up doing a big performance of Louie Louie, backed by Lady Bo Trio, which was the band backing Bo Diddley. And it was 45 minutes of magic. And I'm happy to say I'm the only person that has any videotape of that footage, which I look forward to sharing someday soon.
Shortly after Richard Berry released his version of Louie Louie, and this predated the Kingsmen version, mind you, Flip Records requested a follow-up single in a similar vein. The result was the song Have Love Will Travel, which used the same chord progression as Louie Louie, and was released in 1959.
To Mexico, I tried to find the girl to love me so. No matter where I go, no matter where I be, I just can't find the girl to satisfy me. Have love, well, baby, now we'll travel. Say
Travel, a 1959 single by Richard Berry, our featured artist this hour. The song helped end Berry's relationship with Flip Records, as he was finding it difficult to pursue songs of his choice, which at this point were drifting more towards soul than rock and roll. Here's our guest this hour, Eric Priedel, who is currently working on the documentary The Meaning of Louie, talking about the breakup between Flip Records and Richard Berry. And Richard Berry's Louie Louie follow-up, I believe he got it with Flip Records. And that pretty much, after that single came out, the relationship between Flip Records and Richard Berry was over. Do you have any insight into what caused that breakup?
Well, I know that Richard was getting frustrated. Richard was really excited by soul music. He was really loving what Bobby Bland and Junior Parker were doing, and he really wanted to go in that direction. He really wanted to stretch out. And Max Firetag really didn't care about soul. Max really just wanted something that sold. So when the contract was more or less up and they didn't feel like recording together anymore, Richard went on and he linked up with Gary Paxton, who, along with Kim Fowley, they did some amazing recording sessions together. And if you have that Ace Records compilation, it has everything that they released. They would, they would release it on various labels, the Garpax labels, the Paxley labels, which were basically record labels created by Gary and Kim. And different labels for different distribution. And I think one of them even came out on Warner Brothers. They had a one single deal with Warner Brothers. But it never really took off like Louie Louie for whatever reasons. But, pretty amazing recordings. I loved some of the sounds that they came up with on the songs. Very different from the things he was doing on either Flip or Modern.
Yeah, did Kim and Gary influence that, or did they just basically give him the artistic freedom to explore that?
Oh, it was a very collaborative effort. You know, when I hear, you know, I've spent some time with Gary Paxton. You know, he's a good friend, and he's definitely a creative collaborator. So, you know, you work together. You know, it's a good collaborative effort. You get people together that are both creative people, and you both feed off of each other. So, yeah, it was a mutually creative effort on both parts there, and they definitely have some freedoms to do some of the great recordings.
Well, baby, don't you know that I love you so? You're the only girl in this whole wide world that I love the best. You're sweeter than the rest of all the girls I know. I think that you're the most. Don't you know I want you to be my girl? The beating of my heart is for a love so true. This love deep down inside is only for you. Baby, don't you know I really want you near, kiss and caress you, and call you darling dear. Baby, don't you know I want you to be my girl? Hey. For you, dear, it proves my love for you is really, really real. Baby, don't you know it? Baby, don't I show it? I said, baby, don't you feel it? Oh, girl, can't you see it? Baby, don't you know I want you to be my girl? Yeah. Baby, don't you know I want you to be my girl? I want you to be my girl. I want you to be my girl. I want you to be my girl. My baby, be my girl. Baby, baby, be my girl. Baby, baby, be my girl. Baby, baby, be my my girl now. I want you to be my girl.
Richard Berry with I Want You to Be My Girl from 1961, The Days with producers Gary Paxton and Kim Fowley. It was shortly after this collaboration that the song Louie Louie took off for the Kingsmen, a song that Richard Berry had sold the rights 4 years earlier. Here's more of our interview with Eric Priedel. He is the producer-director of the documentary The Meaning of Louie, which is in the process of being made. And do you know if Richard Berry held any other jobs while he was involved with music? I imagine he did, but I don't.
Oh, he absolutely did. He had to have some other jobs. One of the jobs that was kind of interesting was that he wound up getting a job at a record pressing plant. And that was kind of interesting because basically he was struggling trying to get some money, and his record label owner said, hey, I can get you a job at the record pressing plant. And they gave him the job out there of just going outside and breaking up all these old records that were returned and melting them down. And the guys he would work with at this job were like totally harassing him all the time. When they'd hear Richard's recording on the radio, say, hey, man, they're playing your song. And they'd laugh at him while he was out there in the cold breaking records. And eventually he just got fed up with it and had to leave. Hmm. But he wound up having a lot of other little jobs. a lot of things. His primary role was playing playing shows, playing clubs, playing restaurants. He had a regular job at different restaurants, the Century Club and the Hover Restaurant. And some of those are there's some great live recordings of Richard at those restaurants. They're a little hard to find. The Wild Berry session is probably the most common record to find of Richard Berry's. I've seen some repressings of that out there.
You love, they love, he loves, she loves, seems like everybody's got a lover but me. Now I have traveled on many lands, I have traveled the seven seas, and I just can't find anyone. Everybody's got a lover but me. You love, they love, he loves, she loves, seems like everybody's got a lover but me. Now sometimes I look so happy, but deep down inside I'm blue. You just don't know how it feels when everybody's got a lover but you. You love, they love, he loves, she loves, seems like everybody's got a lover but you. I'm so lonely. You love, they love, he loves, she loves, seems like everybody's got a lover but me.
One more time now.
You love, hey,
I'm so lonely.
What I kind of find uplifting about this story is that, you know, when Louie Louie hit it big, he at least from an outsider perspective, he really didn't let the frustration get him down. He didn't go on a bender. He didn't, like, withdraw from society. He really stuck to his guns, and he continued making music. Were things tougher for him than maybe we read about?
Well, they're, you know, it's interesting because when I first started the project, there really wasn't a lot about Richard Berry's life and how he got involved. But yeah, there were always some issues that he had to deal with. And you know, like any public figure, there's the public persona, and then there's the things you have to deal with day to day. You've got your family situations, you know, and it was rough for him. I mean, he was when he sold Louie Louie, he basically sold it because he wanted to buy a wedding ring to marry his sweetheart from high school, Dorothy. And it was great because, you know, he's able to buy a nice wedding ring, and they had a really nice wedding. But the interesting thing was they actually got married before Louie Louie was released, you know. And as you might have heard, Louie Louie was actually released as the B-side of You Are My Sunshine. And somehow or another, it became more popular than the A-side, and they wound up re-releasing it as the A-side. Then they put another song on the flip side called the Rock, Rock, Rock. But yeah, I mean, there was definitely some tension. You know, you've got this song that's, you know, he was married with Dorothy for 10 years from 1957 until 1967. And there was definitely some tension, you know, as there is. I mean, you've got a guy who's out there, he's playing music, he's playing very late night shows. You know, he has two children with Dorothy. He's staying out late. You know, and then there's the frustration of seeing the song out there being played on the radio, and, you know, he's not getting the big bucks out of that. This cover band from Portland, who he doesn't even know, they're the ones getting all the attention, and that's got to be frustrating. So, you know, there was some tension there.
Right.
But he was philosophical about it. I mean, he appreciated the fact that people would cover his songs. It may not have been a version that he would necessarily fully endorsed, but he loved the idea that people were covering his music, and that always was a gratification for him, and he was very honored by that, that sort of thing.
Bessame, Bessame mucho. Each time I cling to your kiss, are your music divine?
Hey everyone, Matthew Ray here. Hope you enjoyed this show on Richard Berry, the man who originally wrote Louie Louie. Richard Berry passed away on January 23rd, 1997, at the age of 69. His last notable performance was a benefit for the Doo-Wop Society of Southern California, at which he reunited with the Pharaohs for their first performance together in over 35 years. He did eventually see some royalties from the song Louie Louie, thanks in large part to the artist right enforcement in 1986, when he received publishing rights, and then again in 1992 when the song was sold to a different publishing group. If you would like more information on the show, visit us online at connectingthenotes.com. We'd like to thank Eric Predell very much for joining us on the show. You can visit his site at louielouie.net, and there's a lot of ways you can help him finish this documentary he's working on. It should be a really good one when it does come out. And also, just check out louielouie.net. There's a lot of really, really cool music history stuff for you music history buffs out there. So we will end with one more version of Louie Louie by Mr. Iggy Pop.
And now, the news.
Yeah! Louie Louie! Money is the reason to be. Makes me just wanna sing Louie Louie, Louie Louie. Oh baby, I gotta go now. Louie Louie. Oh baby, I really gotta go now. There's a fine little girl, she's waiting for me. I think about the meaning of my life again, and I have to sing Louie Louie again. Louie Louie, whoa baby, I gotta go now. Louie Louie, whoa baby, I really gotta go now.
Oh, let's get it to run now.
Like a movie, it makes me wanna sing Louie Louie.